Take your Bibles, turn if you would to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 8. If you have your Bibles, hope you'll follow along with us today as we share a message that I pray will be a blessing and encouragement to your heart as we think about what the Lord is doing and what He will do if we'll put our faith and trust in Him. Romans chapter number 8, I'll begin in just a moment reading verse number 8, and I'll read through verse 13 and just share a few thoughts with you today that I hope will be a blessing. Romans chapter number 8, begin reading in verse number 10. The Bible said, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. I want to concentrate this morning on verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. And I pray today that we'll see what the Lord has for us today as we examine this scripture. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity we have to come together this morning. And Lord, today, truly, we see and know and understand what Paul was saying when he assumed the responsibility of being a debtor. And Father, today I pray that you'd help us, that we might too be wise in seeing what you would have us to do and being faithful to you, faithful to your word. I pray now that you would guide and direct, give us wisdom, strength, and help. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray, amen. I don't believe today I have to familiarize anybody with what debt is. I think we're all very well familiar with that. Most people say, well, there's more month at the end of the money than there is, or excuse me, there's more month than there is money. We have all kind of things, charge cards, mortgage rates, all kind of things we're paying on, car payments. Seems inevitable that we do. But yet I believe that many marriages have been destroyed simply because of this matter of debt. Debt that has taken place and occurred maybe in the home that causes great difficulties along the way. People have to go out and work in order that they might earn what they need, in order they might pay the bills. And again, I know, and a lot of people take literally and say, well, the Bible says, don't owe any man anything. And I think that's a good policy. However, I believe through life that there's times we have to borrow money, whether it be for a house or a car or maybe a major thing we do. But basically what I'm talking about is debt. Saw a bumper sticker one day, and it was on the back of a car. It said, I owe, so it's off to work I go. And I think we truly understand that we have to go to work in order to pay the bills and take care of the things that are there. So we find here that today everybody knows what debt is to some degree. We live in a very carefree, happy-go-lucky welfare society with little sense of responsibility. In fact, people go on, and normally in our day, it's pretty much if you want it, you just go get it, whether you have the money or not. And yet, we develop a debt. I'm not here today to preach to you on finances. I'm just here to preach to you about a debt that I believe all of us owe. The same attitude has crept into Christianity. There's no such thing as a debt-free Christianity. Somebody said, what does it cost to get saved? Absolutely nothing to get saved. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not yourself. It's a gift of God, not a word that says any man should boast. But salvation is free, but Christianity does not release us from the responsibility that we have to our God who gave His life on the cross for our sins in order that we might have eternal life. Again, this morning, I'm going to be dealing with the different debt, as I've already mentioned. I'm going to be dealing with the fact of what the Lord has done for us and the debt that we owe. And friend, today, every one of us ought to feel a sense of guilt this morning about the debt that we owe the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's important to pay your bills, and I'm not getting off on that this morning. But I can tell you this, we can never give God back what belongs to Him. We don't want to give back what belongs to Him, but we can never give Him enough of ourselves to pay for anything that He's done. We sing the song, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor." Truly today, we are debtors because of God's grace. We pray, Father, forgive our debts. And so it's so important that we see that and understand it. But today we owe an obligation, and we owe an obligation to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sometimes creditors will send a friendly reminder. So that's what I want to do this morning, just send you a friendly reminder of the debt that we owe not what you owe in your car, not what you owe in the house, but what you owe to God, the one that died in order that we might have salvation. The first thing we need to understand is, how do we owe a debt? Who do we owe the debt to? What is it that we owe? What is it we need to do? Well, first of all, it involves others. I think today the debt that we give and the debt that we pay is serving others and those around about us. The first thing I want you to see this morning, we owe the sinner the gospel. We know that the Bible teaches Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Today, there's no other way around it. The ultimate reason he came was in order that he might save others. Take your Bibles, turn back with me to Romans chapter number 1. I want to share with you just a few verses of scripture there. Romans chapter 1. What Paul was saying, and again in another place where he refers to himself as being a debtor. Three times in this passage of scripture, in verse 14 through 16 of chapter 1, here's what Paul says. He says, I am. In verse 14, he said, I am a debtor. Let me just read them. He said in verse number 14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So much as in me, as I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want you to notice here, Paul is saying, I am. And every one of us ought to say the I am in our life and the responsibility that we have with sharing the gospel with those who are lost. Friend, whether we want to believe it or not, everybody's going to spend eternity in one place or the other. There's going to be those that are saved are going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be those that reject Christ and they're going to die in their sin. And they're going to burn in a place called hell forever and forever and forever. That's not what I'm saying. That's what the Bible says. And we need to understand the responsibility. But the reason we're here, it's not so God placed us here so we can enjoy life and go through life without any difficulties or any problems and everything seemed to go so well. God placed us here so that we would do the job that he wants us to do to repay the debt that we owe to him. Now, this does not have anything to do with your salvation. I'm telling you, salvation is full and free and eternal. And if you ask Jesus to save you, he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But friend, it's a sad day when we as Christians do not try the best of our ability to repay the debt that we owe our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for what he's done for us. Paul said, I am a debtor. He said, I am ready, and I'm not ashamed. I tell you what a great statement. That preached within itself this morning. But I want you to know this morning, I am a debtor. And I want you to know that I need to be ready to do whatever God has called me to do in order that I might fulfill the debt that I owe. And then I want you to know this morning, I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful today for what he's done for me. I'm not ashamed to tell people that they need to be saved. And so we see the importance of what Paul is saying in this passage of Scripture. The first thing we notice in this passage that we just read in verse 16, he said, for I'm not ashamed, first of all, of the gospel. The preeminence of the gospel. We have a debt to get out the gospel. I appreciate Brother Wiley Lane. And he's got these little refrigerator magnets that he made that say, for God so loved the world. He puts a track on them. He goes all over Moultrie and all the surrounding area. He puts them in place. In fact, I mentioned one time, if anybody be interested in doing that, it'd be a great ministry. He puts them in a basket. They're to be taken free. I went and picked some up for the fall festival to put in the bags the other day. And he shared with me this. This year, he has given out over 40,000 of those things with a gospel tract to people all over the area. Friend, what he's doing is fulfilling the debt that God called him to do. He's invested a lot of money. He's put a lot of time. But he is not ashamed of the gospel. In Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Friend, there's only one gospel. That's Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful today. He said, I'm not ashamed, not of the preeminence of the gospel, but the person of Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. His plan included a person. It's not being reformed, but it's being reborn by the Spirit of God. It's not Muhammad. It's not Mary. It's not Moses. It is God himself. He is worthy, as we sang this morning. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy that all we owe for him. You can never do enough to give God back the praise and the glory for what He's done for us. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He goes on, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it's the power of God unto salvation. Again, power. I remember the word used here in verse 16 is called dynamos. It's the Greek word for dynamite. And literally, the gospel is dynamite. The word of God and the gospel will change lives. People get saved by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so Paul was saying, I'm not ashamed. It's not a disgrace to me. I want you to know today, I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart and all my soul and all my might. I want to serve Him. I want to lift Him up. I want to praise Him for all that He's done. He said He's the power of God, but He speaks also of the purpose of the gospel unto salvation. Friend, the ultimate end of preaching the gospel is salvation. Today, I know there's a lot of things that we can learn in the Bible, learn how to live, how to walk, how to act, to live a holy life, and to lead a holy life. And that's what God expects us to do once we become a child of God. But the ultimate end is we can't do anything until we accept the price that Jesus paid on the cross for our sin and get saved by the grace of God. And it's at that moment, and that moment only, that we become a debtor for what God has done for us. It is the power of God until salvation. But listen at the prospect of the gospel. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm glad today there's nobody exempt from being saved by the gospel. I believe today He said He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He said He came into His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. The Bible said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm glad today that Jesus died for me. I'm glad that He is willing to give me salvation. And Paul said, I'm ready. He said, I'm a debtor. I'm ready, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The first two letters that we find in the New Testament, it's all about go. It's all about go. Somebody said, well, what are you talking about? Well, today, listen, we owe a debt. We owe a debt all over the world today. That's why we send missionaries. That's why I believe we ought to be witnessing everywhere we are. We're a debtor. We're a debtor to the Lord for what He's done. We're a debtor to the lost. It's our responsibility. And friend, we're going to have to give an account for our failure to give the gospel out if we're not telling people that Jesus saves. We're a debtor not only to the lost, but and by the way, who is the lost in that verse? He's referring to the Greeks. The Greeks. The learned, the people that are smart, but yet they have not come to the realization and understanding the truth of the gospel. But then he says to the Greeks and also to the barbarians. The barbarians was the locals of that day. Friend, I want you to know that as much as we owe a debt across the sea, we owe a debt right here in Thomasville, Georgia, to people that they need to hear the gospel. We're a debtor to all people in all places. We're to the crude and the cultured. We're to the intellectual and to the ignorant. We owe it to others. Remember when somebody told you about the Lord Jesus Christ? You remember when you got saved and God spoke to your heart? I do. I remember it vividly. What a change in my life Jesus wrought when I got saved and born again by the Spirit of God. I tell you today, my heart is saddened every day that I live when I hear the news about people that have cancer, going through difficult times, people getting in accidents and whatever, hospital. I think about how tragic it is. But I'm going to tell you something. If God heals you from cancer, you ought to praise God for that. That is praiseworthy, to thank the Lord for what He's done. If you're cured, you ought to want to tell everybody. You ought not to want to be quiet about it. If you're a saved child of God, you ought to give God all the credit. So we're to be debtors to the lost. It's our responsibility. I know somebody said, well, Jesus can save whoever He wants. And you're right, He can. But God chose to use us as instruments that we might be used of Him to share the gospel by way of tract or by way of witnessing or telling others that Jesus saves. Friend, I'm telling you today, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and know that heaven is your home. The second thing I notice, we owe the saints our gifts. I'm thankful today. I stand amazed when I come to church. I'm so blessed, and we're so blessed to have so many people that are so talented in our church. As Trish sang a while ago, and she's been singing in this church for a long, long time. I tell you, I was blessed that God blessed us with her. But you know what she's doing? She's just paying a debt that she owes, a debt to the saints. Now, again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying she owes us a debt. She owes the Lord a debt, but we owe the Lord to minister to the saints with the gifts that he's given. When you sing in the choir, you know what you're doing? You're paying off that debt. God's using you. And by the way, I believe singing is one of the greatest parts of the service. I don't believe it supersedes the preaching, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But I believe music is of great, great importance in our services. I appreciate those that play instruments. I love to hear the playing of the instruments through the song service. What a blessing. It gives me joy in my heart. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 12, our text, he said, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Listen, we owe God. We don't owe him for salvation, but we owe him because of what he's done for us and the praise that he deserves in our life. In 1 Corinthians 12, he speaks of gifts. All of us have gifts. Some have gifts of singing. Some of us don't have gifts of singing. But I can tell you this, whatever your gift is, he said, whatsoever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I'm grateful today for God's blessing in 1 Peter 4:10. And every man that hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If God's given you the ability to sing, God's given you the ability to play an instrument, or if God's given you the ability to sing in the choir, or God's given you ability to teach a Sunday school class, you need to use it. Because that's a way of paying the debt back to God for what he's done for us. I tell you today, I hear people, they get to the point in life, say, well, I've been doing it all my life. It's time for somebody else to take my place. I don't know that God ever intended that. I think what he wanted us to do is just serve him as long as we had breath, as long as we's able. He just wants us to be faithful, keep on doing what he's called us to do. First of all, we need to be faithful. We owe the saints. And who are the saints? First of all, we need to be paying the debt to our companion. We owe to our godly partner. To our companion, we owe a godly partner. Tenderness and thoughtfulness. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 3, the Bible said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In the book of Amos, he said, can two walk together except they be agreed? I tell you today, God has placed us in relationships to where, as a child of God, saved by the grace of God, we owe a debt. We owe a debt to our partners, the one that we're married to, and we owe a debt to them to be faithful to them and to love them and show tenderness and thoughtfulness in every way we possibly can. It's like one fellow said about being unequally yoked. He said, you know, if you marry a child of the devil, you know who your father-in-law is going to be. And so you get that in a minute. It'll sink in. But it's the devil, in case you don't figure it out. Second of all, we owe a debt to our children to be a godly parent. I tell you today, I believe that all of us would have to say today that we have failed in some areas of that. But I tell you today, thank God for parents that love their children and show Jesus to them in their everyday life. You see, the dad is the head of the house. He's the one that's to take the lead. He's the one to take the love and show the love that is there. Kids ought not have to worry about daddy whether he's going to come home. They ought not have to worry about daddy and the things that he's doing. They ought to think that they've got a daddy that loves them, that raised them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A daddy that their children hear and pray. A daddy that they see, or excuse, children that see their daddy serving the Lord and being faithful to him. Friend, the responsibility of training our children is a great responsibility. And I know we can't do it Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We can't get it all done. But you have them 7 days a week. You've got to influence them. You've got to make an impact upon them. And so again, the importance, that's who the saints are. We're paying our debt every day that we live when we're raising our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not seeing a dad that puts other things before he does church. Not seeing a dad that's a hypocrite about the things of God. But seeing a dad that loves God and serves God and is faithful to God. That's a parent that's paying their debt, the debt we owe. And the Bible says that, I'm not going to get into the message, I don't have time on that this morning, but the Bible says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. But it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And how we know today that we owe a great debt, not only to our partner, we owe a great debt to our children to be a great parent. And then to our church, we owe a great debt to our parishioners. You know, today, we owe the church our time. Somebody said, you know, preacher, I'm going to try to work things out, and I'm going to try to do what I can. But, you know, most people today, they don't come to get in, they come to get out. I know a lot of times you may be kidding, so don't take it personal if this affects you, because I know a lot of you just kidding. But you said, boy, I didn't know if he was going to get through today. That don't happen often, but you know what? I preach when I feel like the Lord would have me to preach in the time. But you know, we ought to just be saying, Lord, do something today. Just let, if Lord, if he needs to keep going, just let him go. I'm just saying today, we owe a debt. We've got time for everything in the world, and I'm not going to get personal, but I can tell you this. We find time to do what we want to do. We find time to do what we want to do when we want to do it, and yet we fail to give God what we owe him in our time. A lot of churches now are kind of doing away with a lot of services. They feel like one service a week is all they need. Friend, I don't believe three is enough, but that's what we've been doing for a long time. But I'm grateful for every opportunity I have to come to the house of God to hear the word of God. I owe him. Do I not owe him at least 4 hours a week, 3 or 4 hours a week, to be where he could speak to my heart and use me? And then I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but our tithe. Many churches suffer, and thank the Lord, this has not been one that does. But you know, you start talking about money, and nobody wants to hear it. But everywhere I go, they talk about money. I went to the grocery store the other day, and they expected me to pay for what I got in my buggy. Can you imagine that? I mean, I didn't argue with them because I knew I owed it. But listen, we come to the house of God. Isn't it wonderful to be able to give back to God what he's given to us? Friend, just look around the building. Just look at the facilities. And I'll tell you what, we owe a great debt to our Lord Jesus Christ for this church that he's given to us and the way he's blessed. You see, money talks, somebody says, and usually that tells you a whole lot about them. I was thrilled with our faith promise. I'm always wanting more. But friend, I didn't ask you to give to the church. I didn't ask you to give to me. I just asked you to give to God in order that people could hear the gospel. There's three important books in the Christian life. There's the good book, which is the Word of God. There's the hymn book. And thank the Lord for some godly hymns that have been written by godly people. And then there's the checkbook. He said, you didn't have to bring that up. Yeah, I did. Checkbook just as important, because this church could not operate. We couldn't pay the bills if it went. And again, I'm not camping out here very long, because we got good givers. And God has blessed us amazingly. But he deserves, we owe him our time, we owe him our tithe, we owe him our talent. Christianity is not a spectator sport. I tell you today, I love football, and I like to watch it. And every now and then, I think I know better than the coach. And sometimes I think maybe I might even could play a little better. But I got sense enough to know I better keep myself right where I'm at, because I can't do that. But I tell you what, Christianity is not that way. Listen to me. There ought to be no bench warmers at the house of God. You said, but preacher, you don't understand. I'm not able to get up and go, I understand that. But you can pray. You can do whatever. You can. Somebody told me the other day, said every time I send a bill in, I put a gospel track in it. You said they reckon they read them? I don't know if they do or not. That's between them and God, and whether he convicts them to read it or not. But I guarantee there's been many that's been saved as a result of it. Well, God, our talent, we owe him our talent and everything. It's not a spectator sport. All of us have an obligation. He said, where could I help? Well, choir, nursery, ushering, just to name a few. Friend, this place is big enough you can find something to do, I promise you. if you want to get involved. If you have a talent, use it, because you're repaying the debt that you owe the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we owe the church our testimony. I think it's so important today that we owe our church our testimony. You know, when we're living out in the community, people ought to know that we're Christians. We ought not to be ashamed of it. We ought to be willing to share it and tell others quickly. To our country, we owe a godly patriot. We owe our forefathers. There was ones that paid the price, they plowed the path, and they preserved the pattern. And I'm thankful today to live in America. I'm thankful today for all the years God's given to me. And I tell you, all you got to do is look at Ukraine, Russia, China, and all the other places around the world. And I don't believe anybody would want to be in trade places with any of those people in the places they're in. We owe it to our soldiers. There's men that gave their life for the freedoms that we enjoy today. And we owe a debt. If we owe a debt to our country, and we owe that in order that we might be faithful in serving the Lord, our testimony, and doing what He'd have us to do, we owe to be a godly patriot. And I tell you, I'm not ashamed to pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America either. And I tell you today, I'm grateful for that old flag, old glory. But then quickly and lastly, we owe the Savior all the glory. We owe the Savior all the glory. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Listen, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Most people say, I don't owe anybody anything. And can I say this morning, you may be sitting here and you may not owe nobody a dime. Everything may be paid for. You don't have any debt in this world monetarily. But if you're a child of God, you'll never get paid up on all the debt that you owe the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it was old weatherman Willard Scott used to say, he said, I don't bring beautiful weather. He says, God does. And I tell you today, God needs to get the glory. We owe a debt of gratitude. Friend, I tell you, we've had some beautiful days, and I hate to even compare to this, but during the storm down south, we had some really nice days, and we've had some beautiful days since then. We owe a great debt of gratitude to God for the blessings that He bestowed upon us. In 1 Chronicles 16:29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Whence we're speaking of debt, I believe we ought to give God the credit. I ain't talking about the credit we think about, but I'm talking about the credit He deserves for what He's done for each and every one of us. A bank gives us credit. You go to the bank, you borrow the money, they give it to you. You have to sign your life away now, but used to be they give it to you on your name. They just give it to you. Because they believed you'd pay it. And I tell you, God's given us salvation. And I'm thankful today that in God giving us salvation, that we need to repay the debt and give Him the credit that He so deserves. 1 Chronicles 16:29, give unto the Lord the glory due His name. And I'm telling you today, speaking of debt, I believe we ought to give God the credit, not only in appreciation, but in advance. You know, oftentimes you'll hear people pray, and oftentimes I pray. I pray the Lord would in advance that He'd bless us. God does give us the credit we need. And then quickly and lastly, to myself, I owe some guidelines to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe I owe Him a budget. He said, you talking about money? No, I'm not talking about money. Could talk about money, but I'm talking about a budget of my time, my talents, what I have, that I might be faithful to God, that I might budget my time when it comes to the Bible, reading it, praying, seeking God's face and God's will. You see, every debt has a due date. Every debt has a due date. You hear me? This morning, you need to be sure your account's up to date. You need to balance your checkbook, not literally, but just figuratively. But it's your duty to see what God has done for you. God is calling us today to a commitment. It's a matter of life and debt. Friend, Paul said, I am a debtor. I say this morning, I am a debtor. Are you fulfilling the debt that you know owe our God this morning?